If not, I've got a phone line open for you. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by the host of the Open Floor podcast. He covers the NBA also for SI.com. He is a jungle legend. Ben Golver is my guest. Ben, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm awesome, Ben. Great to talk to you as always. Let's start first with the Bucks and Golden State, Ben. Bucks blow Golden State out last night, but the Warriors were without Draymond Green. Then Steph Curry left early with an injury. How much would you read into that game?
Not too much into that game, but I got to say, the Steph injury is already looking like the biggest bummer of the start of this season. I mean, when he plays for the Golden State Warriors during the Steve Kerr tenure, they're a 69-win team on average. When he doesn't play, they're a 44-win team, and we're talking about a 25-win swing when he's on the court versus when he's off the court. And it's not just the production in terms of wins and losses. It's also just the fun factor. I mean, I think you saw that, you know, last night too, where all season long, Steph's just been in this magical groove. I mean, looking like MVP Steph, probably playing the best basketball of his career on both sides, you know, both offensively and defensively. Without him, they lose a lot of their spunk, their heart, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, already being down Draymond, they just didn't have enough. I do think that Milwaukee's got to be viewed, though, as one of the biggest stories here in this early season. They're never going to get the attention because they're that small market team, and they've been, you know, not great for probably the last 20 years or so. But to me, this is a team that has a legit chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals. And if you're looking for a final sleeper, you know, some team that could just crash the party, surprise everybody, and make the NBA Finals, to me, it's Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ben Golver joining us. I agree with you, Ben. Let's go back to Steph for a minute, and time will tell. Hopefully it's not a bad injury, but if he were to come back and he were to pick up where he left off and have that kind of monster year that it looks like he was on his way to having, what would that mean to his legacy and how he's viewed among the all-time great NBA players, especially as it relates to the way he's changed that game and the league?
Well, Jim, you know, people have been sick of the Warriors for a long time, but it's been an awfully long time already. And they're stacking up a lot of wins, you know, during this time period. I mean, pretty soon we're going to be looking at Steph in the conversation with guys like Magic in terms of how many rings he has. You know, potentially a guy like Michael Jordan in terms of how many rings he has. And I think, you know, the big thing that everyone circled is like, you know, will Kevin return next summer? And to me, even if he leaves, Golden State's still potentially a championship team next season, even without Kevin Durant. I mean, that would maybe put them in position if they wanted to, you know, bring a DeMarcus Cousins back. You know, maybe they would be able to do that and kind of retool without Durant. And that would also just still keep Stephen Curry in that conversation for, you know, adding titles and MVPs and all the other types of awards he's already accumulated here, you know, during this time period. So I think by the end of this season, you know, assuming Golden State, you know, wins the title, I think the big conversation we're going to be having next summer is who's the greatest point guard of all time, Magic Johnson or Stephen Curry. And I think that that's going to gain and build momentum. I think there's going to be a real, you know, opportunity, whether it's next season or 2 years down the road, where opinions start to shift and people say, look, Steph Curry has completely changed the way the game has played. Everyone's shooting three-pointers. Everyone's playing faster. They're trying to mimic Steph Curry. He's had this gigantic impact on the sport, and that's going to add to his legacy as well. So, you know, to me, I would not be surprised at all if he's a top 10 player by the time he retires. And frankly, I think, you know, top five, that conversation, if he continues winning like they've been winning, he could be there too.
Wow. Ben Golver joining us. So, Ben, if that's all true, you know, all that said, of course, about Michael Jordan. So for a number of years, Ben was like, who's the next Mike? Who's the next Mike? And we kept looking for the next Michael Jordan. Are we going to have that same conversation about Steph Curry? And are we going to look at guys like Trae Young? Or is that maybe kind of a one-off?
Hey, Jim, we're already there. This guy's got a whole generation of imitators. I mean, you've got Trae Young. You look at Jamal Murray in Denver. To me, he should win, you know, probably most improved player. He has a real shot at that award this year, and his whole game is very Steph Curry-oriented. He had 48 points the other night, really skilled shooter. I mean, I see him as an all-star in a couple of years. You even look at how Damian Lillard has started to play his game, you know, kind of, you know, adjusting and shooting even more threes off the dribble over the last couple of years. I think there's a real you know, Steph Curry influence there. Kemba Walker has really evolved into this all-star level player, a guy who's played excellent basketball here early this season too. I think you see some Steph Curry influence in terms of how his team uses him with the ball as well. So I think you're just going to continue to see it. I mean, Trae Young is the most obvious example because he loves to pull up from so deep, and you know, there's so much, you know, kind of cockiness and on-ball flair to his game and great passing ability that also reminds you of Steph too. But I think there's going to be a whole generation of these guys. And I think we should also look at the NBA rules. I mean, they're changing the rules to really benefit the little guys, right? You can't hold and grab and tug guys when they're off the ball. So if you're Steph Curry and you want to fly around, get yourself open for some, you know, quality three-point shots, nobody can hold you. Nobody can bump you. Nobody can restrict your movement. It makes your life a lot easier. It makes it easier for your teammates to get you good shots. And that's why you're seeing such a big scoring burst in the league right now. I mean, everybody's getting numbers because the NBA was smart enough to realize that Steph Curry is the golden goose, and let's try to make as many players as possible play like this guy.
We're talking to Ben Golliver. So, Ben, go back to Kevin Durant for a minute. If you had to guess, what's important to him? Like, he went there, he's had fun playing there, he's got his rings, but he's got a chance to bounce and opt out. So what do you think's in his head? Does he want to go someplace else and be the man, or does he like it where he is?
Hey, Jim, you can't ask me these impossible questions, okay? I don't even think he knows. I mean, remember back in the Oklahoma City decision? He was regretting that decision in the, you know, he was kind of at least second-guessing it, or like, why did I do this? I mean, that was a sentiment that came out after he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. Now, obviously, I think history has proven he made the right call, and, you know, for him to just kind of, you know, put any regrets or second thoughts out of his mind and just continue playing basketball was the right way to approach it. But, you know, looking forward, it's not clear to me. Does he want to be the man? Does he want to be a part of this dynasty? Is he happy just running people off the court constantly? Does market matter to him? Is there some benefit of being the man in, say, a city like New York, you know, kind of taking that LeBron model of, you know, being a mega star in a mega market? Or does being part of what Golden State's got going on still appeal to him? I'll say this. From a basketball history perspective, the way the Warriors have played early this season when they've been healthy has been some of the most dominating, beautiful basketball I've ever seen. I think it would be a shame if he left. I know that's boring because nobody's figured out a way to stop these guys, and they're just going to continue on with their dynasty if he does stay. But to me, I think that's the best move for his legacy because he'll be stacking up lots and lots of awards. And I mentioned earlier, we could have that conversation like Steph versus Magic, you know, really getting serious next summer. I think the same thing is true with Kevin Durant, by the way. By next summer, I think it's going to be Kevin Durant versus Larry Bird. Where do those guys stack up in terms of that small forward position? And I think at some point here, pretty soon, Kevin's going to move past Larry Bird. And now we're going to be saying, okay, can Kevin catch LeBron? And obviously, that's a trickier formula. There's no question about it, but that's the kind of history he's playing with if he stays with Golden State.
Ben Golliver joining us. You know, when you talk about Golden State like that, Ben, it sounds like they're almost unbeatable, but the Rockets pushed them pretty hard in the conference finals. In fact, had them on the ropes, yet Houston, Ben, is 4-6 this year. How worried should the Rockets be when you look at the way they're playing on both ends of the floor?
I'm concerned for them. You know, I was one of their biggest advocates last year. I thought that they could really make life difficult for Golden State, and they even exceeded my expectations. They really pushed them hard. And I still don't think they get quite enough credit for how difficult that Western Conference Finals was for Golden State. But this Rockets team just looks totally different. They've lost players. They've lost their defensive identity. The new guys they've added have not been good fits really at all. Their stars are not performing to their star level. And, you know, it starts with Harden and then goes to Chris Paul. And then just right down the list. And this is something that we see a lot in the NBA. I mean, when you have that magical dream season, and they did last year, I mean, 65 wins, the most in franchise history. Everything went right. It is so difficult to repeat that, to get everybody, you know, clicking on those cylinders. You know, Harden won his MVP. So now does he come back with the same level of oomph from day one? Clint Capella got paid. Does he come back with the same mentality from day one? You lose some veteran guys who are really important guys, you know, defensive type players who give you your identity on that end. And they just look like a completely different team. And if I'm Golden State, I mean, I think they should have been worried about Houston last year. I don't really see a lot of concern for them. If I were them, I would not be worried in the slightest about the Rockets. You know, a team like Denver or maybe even Portland would give me more concern at this point than Houston does.
Ben Golliver, my guest. Ben, before you go, let me ask you about Zion Williamson. He goes off for Duke, and Steve Kerr says, quote, I thought that was a one-shot deal, but apparently the next guy's coming, end quote. Look, I know you're a hoops guy, and you didn't just wake up to Zion on Tuesday night. What do you make of what you've seen from him over the years and also this week?
No, he's incredible, and he's been great for, you know, 3 years. Like, he's just dominated Instagram since he was, like, 15 years old in high school. I mean, he's been the Instagram sensation. There's no doubt about it. I think we need to be careful with any LeBron comparison. That's not fair. You know, it wasn't fair to Trae Young to say, hey, you're going to be Steph Curry. It's not fair to Zion to say you're going to be LeBron James. I still think LeBron James is a one-off, to kind of use Steve Kerr's own language. But I do think Zion's the type of guy who will pull hyperbole out of you, who will get you really, really hyped up, because his combination of size, strength, motor, athleticism, you know, sheer, you know, vertical leap. I mean, all of it is just unprecedented. It's almost like a supercharged Charles Barkley. I mean, at times he reminds me of, like, you know, Draymond Green, but with, like, a much more, like, kind of killer instinct on the offensive end, where he's looking to score first rather than pass first. And then, of course, he can jump out of the gym too. So he's a highlight a minute. But what really impresses me is his work ethic, his dedication to doing the little things. He'll dive on the ground for loose balls. He'll make defensive plays. He'll key transition opportunities. You know, he'll make a stop on defense, and he'll just take off and go with the ball. He does a lot of the little things. And sometimes these guys who are caught up just dunking and being flashy aren't willing to do that stuff. And Zion absolutely is. He plays the right way. And I'll just say this, Jim. Can we just please let guys like him come straight to the NBA? I mean, let's not waste his time at Duke. I'm sure it's going to be fun watching him, you know, wipe everybody off the court. But come on, let's get this guy in the NBA where he belongs.
Ben Golver, you're not going to get an argument from me. Ben Golver joining us. Hey, Ben, one last thought. Let me ask you about Kyrie Irving. Now, he said before the season that he was committed to re-signing in Boston. Do you believe Kyrie when he says that? And better yet, does Kyrie believe Kyrie when he says that?
That's a great question. It's really hard to know. I mean, to me, you have to view everything he says with a degree of skepticism, because that's kind of his track record, right? I mean, he gets off into these Looney Tunes conspiracy theories and all this other stuff. And, you know, even when he wants to be serious, it kind of makes you think in the back of your head, like, okay, like, is he playing with the news here? I mean, is he, you know, kind of getting into gray areas? I mean, ultimately, I think Boston is a great fit for him. They have not played very well to start this season, certainly not to their capabilities. But I think they're going to be able to pull it together. Prestigious franchise, great market. They love hoops there, and a chance to win a title every single year. I'm not sure what else he would want. And I really don't see another situation that's going to, you know, in terms of people who would try to make a run at him in free agency, that would be better for him than Boston. But he's a very difficult guy to read. And, you know, like I said, he likes to play with these theories where, you know, you really don't know if you can trust the words that come out of his mouth. So I think that most people will let this season play out. I think he will let this season play out as well. But look, Boston had a lot of pressure on them, you know, coming into the season, lots of expectations. If this is a team that doesn't make the Eastern Conference Finals, I think everything's on the table.
He covers the NBA for SI.com. He's the host of the Open Floor podcast and a legend of these parts too. Ben Golver, my guest. Ben, great to have you back. Nice job. Thank you very much for it.
Oh, my pleasure, Jim. Anytime, man.
Have a great weekend, Ben. We'll do it again soon. All right, so talking about Steph Curry and putting him in the same sentence as Magic, Kevin Durant, Larry Bird. I mean, we're talking the all-time greats. We're talking top 10ers, top 7, top 5. What do you make of that argument?